Thank you so much for tuning in to the How We Rise Leadership Podcast, where I'm here to support you to become the leader that both your destiny and humanity is calling you to be. As the founder of She Summit, an award-winning conference, Advancing She, He, and Equity for All, we're hosting a series of community calls to provide a transparent space for our audience to come and connect and gain some How We Rise coaching and also hear from our network of She Summit speakers. On this podcast, I will be sharing some of the intimate conversations from the community calls. And in this upcoming episode, I speak to Dr. Valerie Rain. She is a psychologist and women's mental health in the workplace expert and author of Patriarchy Stress Disorder, The Invisible Inner Barrier to Women's Happiness and Fulfillment. Valerie and I talk in this episode about the connection between mental health and community and how it's so important to be easy on ourselves right now through COVID-19 because so much of our generational and collective trauma is being activated. It's a riveting conversation. Take a listen now. And if you want to join these community calls, just go to shesummit.com to subscribe. And if you're not subscribed to this podcast, please hit subscribe where you listen to podcasts so you can get alerts of upcoming episodes. Thank you so much and enjoy this episode.
Welcome, Valerie.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for including me as a part of your vision. Thank you, everybody who's joining us today. And I just want to say, community, you are just so masterful at creating community. You've built this amazing conference, She Summit. You've built an amazing community around it. And when I was going through your program, This Is How We Rise, this was the module that impacted me the most because it really moved me deeply to help see this is how we create movements, right? The ideas that go viral, what we pass along through our humanity, through our inspiration, and then others pass that along. And it is together that we can create that tipping point through awareness and through action, and the community makes it all possible. So thank you for your leadership, Claudia.
Yeah, and I actually love that you just brought that up because one of my slides was that community turns missions into movements, mm-hmm. right? It's yeah. like, you know, we have to collaborate to accelerate. Like we have to be in partnership with each other. And part of forming those partnerships, again, is transparency. You know, we need to like communicate authentically and really talk about the problem so that we can actually co-solve together and create that community to accelerate. And I know there's, again, you and I are entrepreneurs and we teach a lot in the corporate workplace. And I know there's a lot of folks in the corporate workplace and us, our entrepreneurship with their intrapreneurship is like magic, right? To really fuel
this. It is magic.
So thank you. And so can you just talk about, you know, and I know you've got lots of clients, especially those in the corporate world and, you know, a lot of senior executive women. So what are you finding right now with COVID-19 and the impact and with mental health? I just want to, let's start.
Oh my. So, I want to talk to our audience. If you are waking up and you're feeling a little heavy, you're feeling a little burdened, you're feeling tired, this actually has very little to do with you. And I'll explain why. I'll explain the factors that are affecting people right now, and particularly women I'm going to focus on because that's our primary audience today. And what we can do about it. I love this quote that you use a lot, Claudia: when we can see the invisible, we can do the impossible. So I want to talk about a couple of invisible things that when we can see them, we can start shifting, right? So just to validate the experience you may be having right now, if you're not using the quarantine time to learn another language or win a cupcake competition on Instagram, that's totally fine. This may not be your most productive and creative time. And I'm going to show you exactly why, and an opportunity to start shifting and opening up new possibilities, right? Every challenge contains an opportunity. So that's what I want to focus on today. So let's start by recognizing that as women, we've been carrying multiple roles forever, right? We are a professional, we're mother, we are a partner, a sister, a daughter. Now, what's happening with COVID-19, the boundaries between those roles have all but disappeared. Yeah, we're handling homeschooling for kids, and at the same time, we're taking client calls and writing proposals, right? And at the same time, our parents may have emotional needs, right? And our kids. So, and the support structures have all but disappeared. There's school or child or hairdressers. There is no more going to the spa or the coffee shop or going out with your friends.
Everything's been dismantled. Yes.
It's been dismantled. So recognizing that the demands are high, the support systems are low, right? And we're also carrying a lot, we're doing a lot of emotional labor because taking on emotions of those around us. That's what we do, women, our teammates, our children, our parents, our partners. And thus, being empathetic, we're also very aware of the emotional load and activation in globally right now. So we are affected. And when we sleep, actually, it's our subconscious becomes like an open source software. We just keep on downloading things from the collective subconscious. So when we wake up, we may feel already tired and activated. And that's because the collective subconscious, all the fear and stress has been live streaming to ours. So in these times, we need more tools. We need more tools than before for self-care and stress management. And old tools may not be working. So there are more factors that are affecting us. For example, when routine things like going to a grocery store for those of us who still can, requires like an insane list of things. We need a mask, we need glasses and gloves and sanitizer and washing the clothes and it's a lot. So it's stressful. So our nervous systems are constantly in overdrive, constantly activating. The cortisol is pumping. So we may be feeling extra tired. We may be feeling less productive. And also the ways in which we get affected, those ways that maybe don't meet the eye have to do with trauma. And what I mean by trauma is, first of all, any experience that made you feel unsafe, right? And if we think about what's going on collectively now, there is so much trauma that's activated for people. And it's not only current time trauma, it's also generational and collective. Mm-hmm. We know from epigenetics that traumatic experiences are genetically transmitted. And if you think about your lineage, somewhere down the line, people, your ancestors have experienced pandemics, wars, famines, persecution, deprivation. All of that programming is up in our subconscious and collectively. So we have this huge load of activation right now. So just take a deep breath and recognize this is what's below the tip of the iceberg, right? Of you just like trying to focus and your days are shrinking and you're taking care of everybody. It's normal. So what you mean?
So there's so much that you just said there that I want to unpack a little bit.
The
first is this idea of trauma. Mm-hmm. And by the way, and even just to start before that, is that everybody has mental health, right?
Yeah.
We all have physical health. I always say we all have mental health. And so what really is, that blurred line between like stress, anxiety, anxiousness, you know, to like clinical, you know, like I think that there's this traditional definition of, oh, well, I have to be like clinically, biologically diagnosed with, you know, depression or a mental health issue in order to actually have mental health. But no, it's like, what is that blurry line between like, we all can have stress, we all can get anxious. And and so we all have mental health, is to all realize that, and all those like patterns that our mind goes to, that self-talk, and but how all of that is really connected to this trauma, and that we all have trauma. Like we all have, it's like we're all walking around with this like invisible, because it's in our subconscious mind, right? Like this invisible container of stuff that is generational, or that we grew up with, that our parents are, maybe it's our cultural heritage or an event that happened to us, right? Mm-hmm. Where it's on such a subconscious level that right now with this external crisis happening, it's, we don't even know how much it's triggering our trauma. And, wow. You know, so during the day, if you are, and I always believe that we all have, I know for myself, I have like one, two or three core triggers that where I always do the same thing, right? And it could be like, I snap at my husband, or, you know, I like certain events might trigger my stress. And so I think we all have those things. And so I'll talk about that a little bit more in terms of, you know, this, like, in terms of trauma and the generational stuff.
Yeah, I'm so glad you shared about us carrying it in these invisible containers, right? And if we don't realize it, we just think, oh my gosh, I'm just an angry person. Or I just snap. This is just who I am. I have a short fuse. And the truth of the matter is that there is trauma. Any experience that made you feel unsafe in your personal life or generationally, right? What we've inherited. And when we get triggered, our nervous system gets activated. It goes into fight, flight, freeze. And that's why we experience anger, short fuse, anxiety, depression. So depression is nervous system going into freeze. And I'm not talking about clinical stuff, as you said here. It's like, everybody has a little bit of anxious activation right now. Everybody has a little bit depressive activation, and I'm showing these spirals going up as anxious activation, spiral going down as depressive activation. It only means that these are protective survival mechanisms kicking in. So I call this state survival, right? And where we want to shift by recognizing it and using some tools, and I can share with you where you can get started actually applying this knowledge today. Mm-hmm. We want to shift to thriving. So here's a huge, just a huge distinction between survival and thriving. What's going on in survival is fight, flight, freeze, right? Our system defensively contracts. And now that so much trauma is activated, we can be pulled to kind of stay in silos, stay in isolation, right? These are some of survival techniques. And how we get affected, we also, it's not the time when we can make the best decisions, because literally our prefrontal cortex, these centers, executive centers of our brain, they get hijacked by trauma activation that takes us to the hindbrain, and it's fight, flight, freeze. So we may be more impulsive. We may be less willing or able to play well with others and be cooperative. There is also kind of a very devastating a rollback that may be happening in the diversity, equity, and inclusion field, because to our survival centers, different is perceived as dangerous. Mm. And now that we're all in this trauma activation to greater or lesser degree, people may isolate more, and there may be more, right? I'm just going to hang out with people who look and sound like me. So that's a big danger. And of course, you know, the obvious, productivity goes down because we're overloaded, right? Our nervous systems are overloaded. We're more fatigued. That may bring down our immunity, making us more susceptible.
So it is. So it's just sort of to know right now that when we're having a day and, you know, the self-sabotage or internal critic, or I call it CLTs, core limiting thoughts, are just at you. Those negative limiting thoughts are just attacking you, or you might not be as productive. Cause we probably have a mostly type A community here. Like, cause it's mm-hmm. our audience is
here.
Influencers, and we all have many of us have platforms either, you know, in our organizations or just, you know, big responsibility, and we hold so much responsibility. So I think we have this thing with control, right? When we are in control, then we can manage everything.
Yeah.
It's stress. And it's almost like in many ways, it's the surrender. We say like your destiny or God can do more in your surrender, that it can be done through your control. Like more can be done through your surrender than through your control. And we tend to over control. But for all of us, it's important to know that every day, just because of what's happening in the world, to be easier on ourselves and to know that our systems, our internal systems, are like a bit haywire right now. And and that it's not, and not to blame ourselves for those reactions and for even like giving ourselves a hard time that we're having a hard time.
Yeah.
Right? I find myself doing that sometimes. Well, why am I having a hard time? Like, I should be developed and advanced in this. And the truth is that actually the more successful you are and the higher you are in leadership. And I feel like those people actually have more stress, and you're actually, you have the permission to actually have more internal challenges because of that much more that you hold. And not to mention, again, you're holding a whole life, you're running, you're leading a family, you're leading a parenting role, you're leading, you know, a partner role, you're leading a home role, you're leading a community role. Like, we all are leading so many roles in our whole life organization. Mm-hmm. So we need to be really easy on ourselves. I want to, so we had talked earlier too about, so stress systems are up and coping methods are down. And so I want to bring in community. And how is community a coping method? Because I love that you even said that. Like, what do we do to cope? Right? We go get a massage, we have a cocktail, we are friends. So let's talk about community and how that's connected to mental health.
Yeah. So it's such a great direction. And there is a link that I want to insert in the shift into the shift from survival to thriving. And that link is feeling safe so that we can actually connect with others meaningfully. So right now, with our nervous systems activated, you may be reaching for coping strategies, whatever you got, right? Maybe leaning into food more, or a drink, or Netflixing, or whatever that is. And recognizing that, as you said, Claudia, it's not your fault. It's your nervous system in overdrive. And recognizing the need to shift the nervous system so we can use it's not even the coping skills. The community can be so much more than the coping skill, right? Community is really a tool, a vehicle for growth and expansion. And this is precisely the time when everything is activated, all the subconscious traumas, everything is up. This is actually a golden opportunity to heal what used to be in the subconscious, and now it's up in just up in our face, right? All these triggers that you mentioned, like do I get angry, or do I reach for that pint of ice cream, or do I drown in Netflix? That's actually kind of the golden flag. Dig here. And what's here, right, is something that feels unsafe inside, and how to create that safety. We can start by using some tools. At She Summit, I shared the Repower tool, taught it from stage.
Let's do it.
Right. It's really, but you know what? I'm actually going to, because new times, these times call for new measures, I'm going to share another tool, and you can download the Repower tool at drvalerie.com/repower. And this one, I highly recommend, especially first thing when you wake up in the morning, or whenever you feel tense, or you are just not even thinking about it, you're just reaching for those coping tools that are not ideal for you. Recognize that, first of all, most of what you're experiencing is not even yours, and drop that question in. It will go into your subconscious. You don't even need to figure that out consciously. How much of it is mine, and how much of it is not mine, is collective, is ancestral? And kind of putting your inner wisdom in charge of sorting that out, and giving permission for your subconscious to release what's not yours. And then we're going to work with what's in your system, what's in your body. You know, first acknowledging and allowing, I use that triple A method, acknowledge, allow, and appreciate what's there, all the defenses, everything that's trying to keep us safe. And we're actually going to enhance that tension by like tensing all muscles, like the muscles of the body, like curling your toes, clenching your fists, scrunching your face, taking a really deep breath, holding it, and releasing, right? And doing it a few times, because that allows for that tension to actually begin to dissipate. And then a simple thing that we can do that we learn from animals, actually, that's how they handle stress. They shake. They shake. Oh, we're mammals. Our biology runs deep, right? So shaking your hands, shaking your shoulders, shaking your hips, I'm tapping my feet now, right? You can add sound to that, which is kind of like a playful way to start discharging. And when you're doing it, you'll start noticing maybe some emotions coming up. Maybe there is some sadness and you can add some sad sounds to it. Maybe there is some anger. So frustrated. Clenching your fists, scrunching your face, right? And then you'll notice that things just begin to move out of your system and dissipate, you know, much better than just snapping at your husband or repressing everything, right? And then just having a migraine. Then the next thing we'll do is integration practice, which involves tapping. And you can see my other hand, I'm tapping my lap on the same on the same side. So I'm tapping my leg and I'm tapping my shoulder. And that's all. There is no specific pace. Just follow the pace that your body wants you to follow. And what that does, that works with the left and the right hemispheres of the brain. All the tools that I teach are actually based in neuroscience and our biology and psychology and the research. So, and they actually create very quick shifts. So after integration, we're going to do some soothing. Again, notice that you're using nothing but your own body. Soothing. I assume that your hands are clean, so you can touch your face. And
it's like moving and touching. It's the sense. It's all of our senses.
All of the senses. I'm glad that you brought that up. We're going to actually bring this home with the five senses. So touch also allows us to release oxytocin, promotes oxytocin release, which is, going back to community, this is a hormone that promotes bonding and togetherness, cooperation, collaboration, as well as feeling really nourished and really good in ourselves. And as women especially, our task of thriving is learning to give from overflow of, that's the whole life leadership, as opposed to giving out of an empty place and just sacrificing and being stretched so thin and then resenting. And then, I mean, nobody wins, right? Creating that overflow starts here, learning the tools to take care of ourselves on a deeper level. At this time, the tools that you might have used before, like meditation or exercise, they're not as effective because there is trauma underneath. That's why we're doing this discharge and integration practice first. And we're going to bring it home with that repower tool, which you'll be able to download. I'll just do a super quick version. Just feeling your feet on the ground, feeling your seat on the seat, on the furniture, feeling that lovely support, stable support of gravity. The earth holds us through thick and thin, no matter what's going on, feeling that stability, feeling the stability of your breath, feeling the sensations of your breathing. And I hope you're doing this with me, because why not, right? It's very simple. And then we're going to add five senses. And the reason we're doing it, we're going to communicate to our hind brain that we're safe right now. No matter what you say verbally, speaking to a prefrontal cortex is going to matter when trauma is activated, because our hind brain doesn't speak the language of the words. So it only speaks the language of experience. So let's experience the environment right now by looking around, taking it in through your gaze, listening, taking in the sounds and the pauses, the silence, smelling and tasting, opening up those senses as well. And then finally, touching. Touch something in your environment. Touch your own skin. That's my favorite. I'm always up for another hit of oxytocin. I do it till I like literally start to feel a little high. That's a very positive and very sustainable kind of medicine, natural medicine that counteracts anxiety instantaneously. It returns you to your body. It helps you feel more connected with others, right? More creative. You're in the flow. You're not feeling isolated. You're not withdrawing. And actually the inner critic that you talked about, Claudia, all of these things are being exacerbated right now. So these simple practices enable us to start shifting. And that's what I'm seeing with my clients right now, because we are using this super potent time. They're able to show up on a whole new level, right? They're making breakthroughs in their personal lives, intimacy with their partners, connection with their kids.
Right.
Yeah. And that's not rocket science, right? It is based in good science, but it's simple things that we can start learning and practicing right now.
It's so powerful. And thank you for sharing all of that. And thank you, Martina, for sharing an awesome question. We are going to be, moving, shifting towards Q&A soon. So, and for those of you who might have recently joined in, again, please share who you are. And if you feel called to, please share a need that you have and a vulnerability, or because we're really trying to create an authentic, safe, and just transparent space, because we're all human and we all go through the same stuff, and we're not different than anyone else. So we're in this together. So please share as we go along. So Valerie, as I look back at this conversation and with the whole life leadership curriculum that I teach, as I often say that, there's the reactive mind and there's the reactive self versus the proactive positive self.
Mm-hmm.
And that in many ways, we all as human beings, we all have our triggers that are connected to traumas, right? We all have this sort of invisible container of things that we're scared of. And for some of us, it could be tied to money. For some of us, it could be tied to love. For some of us, it could be tied to health, because we had a health issue in the past, and that's our area of
scarcity. Or visibility, or leadership.
Or leadership, or worthiness. Like we all have that trauma. And again, I like to use these words to exaggerate the point. And we honestly do need to actually exaggerate sometimes to really like make ourselves get it and to be easy on ourselves. But so really what happens is that we have these negative patterns. Our brains are the neural pathways of our brain. We've been in a way cultivating like negative habits and reactionary habits for so long that are connected to these events that have happened to us in our lives, or it could be generational, it could be biological, it could be a mixed bag of everything. And so how do we, in many ways, I would say, how do you have those mindfulness tools to shift back to the positive, to shift back to the proactive self? And in many ways, your teaching is, it's like, well, can you physically, like, here's tools, acknowledge, allow, was that the second word? Or
the triple A. Yeah, acknowledge, allow, and appreciate.
Yeah, and then the physicality and the five senses, like we need to physically, it's like even literally taking a time out and walking outside, and just to know, call it imposter, call it, give it a name, and like, oh, XYZ is showing up again. And and it's like, or whatever mechanism it is for you. But I love these tools that you're sharing, and it's so extremely powerful. So in terms of, I want to open up to start answering some of these questions. So how do we influence, Martina asks, how do we influence people close to us to adopt these strategies, these amazing strategies that you're sharing, and how to help them realize that they need to feel better? And I mean, my initial response to that, and obviously this depends on, because we are very much a platform that is all around creating more thriving and equitable workplaces and communities. So we're very, very much focused on corporate America, as you all know, because we believe that corporations are micro societies of humanity, and the next generation of change agents is rising out of corporate. and really how do we reimagine the workplace? So just to answer that in the context of your organization is, you know, to really actually be improvisational right now and host conversations like this, or to, you know, how do you import, you know, external folks to facilitate these conversations? How do we, like, I know a law firm right now, my friend's a partner at who's literally, they hired a coach and a therapist to literally, like, everybody can book a session. And so this is the time where I think that if, especially if you're in a culture or HR role or a leadership role, that to really, like, this is the time to push for innovative human practices. And I don't think we need these massive strategic plans. I think we just need to serve what we feel the need is. And that you know, I think, again, we're also into controlling and planning and having 20,000 PowerPoints to launch one thing. And I do think that, again, this is allowing all of us to create more human spaces. So being that, you know, using your voice, making these recommendations, you know, that's one thing that you can do, is just start creating the space and community for these conversations to take place virtually within your organization. And the second thing is also just be vulnerable yourself, like share with others what you're going through. And because that's actually leadership, you're modeling something that, you know, the more you model that, the more that, again, gives other people permission to also. And the more we all behave that way and we're more whole self and we're showing up as our whole selves, the more we can do that. So Valerie, do you want to add anything to that question?
Yeah, I completely agree. And this is the time for everybody to rise, truly. And companies can really take leadership positions in being the best places to work right now. I see a lot of humanitarian effort that companies are involved in on a global scale, and it warms my heart. And we mustn't forget people inside the company, right? Making it happen, and the very human aspects of trauma and being a human, right? All of these things that we need to work through to be in our most productive, creative, connected leadership. And Martina, great question. Also, the change starts here. When you start changing, using these tools, right? You show up, your energy changes, and that's contagious. That's the real pandemic that I'd like to see out there, the viral spread of thriving, because our energy actually physically impacts people around us. We can create peace. Yes. And harmony by just showing up, being the change that you want to see in the world. And that's the how to, right? This is not mental. I mean, this is not just what you think about. It's what you carry within yourself. That's why that's important.
I want to say something too, because we are all mostly, like, we're all leaders on this call. And we lead ourselves first, right? Leading ourselves is actually the hardest thing. But it's much easier to teach than it is to model.
Yeah.
You know, and I always, you know, in my curriculum, it's always like, you know, who do you want to become? Like, what matters? And like all roads lead to character, and like what character, and like, so this is actually a time to not binge on Netflix. It's a time to binge on growth. This is a time to self. And this is where, when all that stuff is happening externally, this is where you actually can see where your weaknesses are. Like, if you're constantly having a trigger around, like somebody just talked about anger, which I so greatly appreciate and I want to address, is that, okay, that's your stuff. Like, that's your trauma right there. You know, and for some people, again, maybe it's about, you know, money or health or whatever it is. So, so let's answer this question from Aditi from Switzerland. Hello, Aditi. And she's struggling with dealing constructively with frustration and dealing with other people in this difficult time. And Valerie, can you share your advice on how to deal specifically with anger, which is really fear, right? Expressed.
Yeah.
And yeah, so let's talk about anger. And I love that question, because for all of us, some of us it's worry, some of it we go internal, some of us just shut down, but some of us get angry. So let's talk about anger.
Great question. And I love what you said, binge on growth right now. That's a quotable. I want to say it all over the internet, binging on growth. Aditi, great question. And recognizing that all of these things that protect us, well, anger is one of those things that protects us. It stems from some kind of a wound that gets triggered, some kind of trauma that gets triggered. And it specifically comes up now. the need to protect yourself is going to be greater the less capacity you have. And the capacity is so compromised right now by all these multiple demands that I talked about earlier, plus you're tasked with learning new skills and how to lead virtually, et cetera, and homeschool kids if you have kids. It's a lot. The capacity is really down. The stresses are up. The demands are huge. So recognizing that there's going to be anger and giving that anger space, not lashing out at somebody. It's like safe detonation. Just take it out into a safe space, which is your practice space. What we did just now in that simple practice, like I didn't go into a lot of details. We don't have a lot of time for that. But I teach these tools on my YouTube channel. I share them in my newsletter. I'm sure Claudia will share with you how to kind of keep on learning. With anger specifically and other emotions as well, you need to actually express it. Neuroscience has shown that the lifespan of an emotion is 90 seconds. It may come as a shock, because if we just feed it with the mind and we don't allow it, it's going to last forever. 90 seconds when you acknowledge, allow, and actually appreciate it and express it through the body, the voice, movement. Yeah. And then you shift into what we did before with tapping and soothing. That discharges the nervous system, creates a feeling of safety. And then you can always finish it with the repower tool as well. I hope this helps. Yeah. Let us know how that goes for you.
And I want to add something to that, just because of all the personal growth and work that, and I always say that to maximize our impact, we need to optimize our leadership development, and to optimize our leadership development, we need to do the personal growth. And so personal growth is the foundation of leadership development, which is the foundation of impact. And when it comes to anger, I think, and one of my favorite authors wrote this, it was something like, you know, oftentimes anger, you know, you think it, the person thinks it's a sign of strength, but it's really a sign of weakness. And if we just pause on that for a minute is, you know, and also just to recognize that everybody has that habit. Like some people cope through drinking. Some people cope through yelling. Some people cope by shutting down and literally like not talking to anyone. So it's just as it's almost like you need to remove your relationship with it and just realize, oh, this is my cocktail. Like this is the thing that I'm programmed to do. And so, but the growth of the understanding the why, like why is that my specific trigger? Like why do I go to drinking or why do I get angry or what, you know, and like somebody says, you know, Andrea says anger is wasted energy, and all of these really negative patterns, like worrying is the most pointless energy. Like worrying is not gonna do anything good for us, right? And so again, these are all just sort of human reactions and mm-hmm. understanding that we all have our backgrounds and see on ourselves. I think more what's profoundly important is to do the work now. Like you're identifying, this is one of my habits that doesn't serve me and it doesn't serve the character and the leader that I want to become, that I'm supposed to be modeling to my kids in my workplace with my title. So like this is where we got to do the work.
Yeah, it's so big, recognizing that you're doing the work not only for yourself, because as women, especially, if that's maybe the least motivating thing to do something for ourselves, but we're doing it for our children, for our colleagues, for people we lead. Yes. And I would just reframe that great quote you use, that anger is not a sign of strength. It's a sign of weakness. I would say it's a sign of vulnerability.
There you go. Better.
It's covering something vulnerable. So acknowledging and appreciating that it's there to serve you, but it's not serving you in the optimal way. So we can really retrain our nervous system to feel safe, and then we can develop new ways of.
Yeah, it's all protection, right? Because it's like our security and our safety is threatened. And so we all go to those emotions to protect ourselves. And that's, and just, yeah, as you said, it's how do you find the better coping mechanisms versus these mechanisms? Wow, we are having a really deep conversation and a very powerful one. I wanted to answer, look at Monique. Hi, Monique. Monique is a senior director of global diversity and inclusion at
TrustCo
and one of our partners. And she asks an amazing question on how do we convey our trauma to others and the expectation around that. And once we share that trauma, and especially specifically in the work environment. And I think that, and I want to just acknowledge, I actually, another silver lining of COVID-19, I could keep on trying to focus on the positive, and that this is a period of actually, yes, it's chaos, but it's actually a period of innovation. And that we, how do we lead through overwhelm, is that innovation is happening, you know, and that when things are messy, like, we just need to embrace the mess, because something good things are going to come out of this too. And one of the good things is really, in a way, accelerating and forcing authenticity and sort of whole self workplaces and whole self cultures, and creating cultures where, like, because right now my 3-year-old can run in here and I could be on a client call or like pitching something, and you know what, that's okay right now. Yeah. And this is actually a really great time, I think, to because sharing our trauma and sharing our struggles takes so much courage. And it like, being vulnerable takes so much courage. And Brené Brown, I know, is the goddess and guru on the subject matter, but it's like, this is the time to almost, where imperfection and authenticity has to be embraced. Mm-hmm. So I would say that, like, just to acknowledge that we're living, like, if this is going to last several months into a year, and this is going to change the future of workplace forever. That is what I'm hearing from my community of culture leaders, and that those of you who can really spearhead and lead and be courageous right now to make those recommendations and be vulnerable. And, you know, this is where I feel like the innovation will really happen.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. And everything else that you're asking in your questions, right, these triggers, and I want to speak to Monique's question. It's such a great one. If prior to this unprecedented time, we could have managed those things okay, now they're becoming not manageable, and it's great, because they cannot hide under the rug anymore. This is time to heal, right? This is that silver lining. This is that golden, precious opportunity. In terms of sharing your trauma with others, this is what comes to me, right? You cannot just come into a room where everybody is fully closed and, like, be naked, right? Be vulnerable. It takes everybody around you also being on this journey. And this is what I'm seeing in my programs right now. There's this deep level of vulnerability that women are able to access, because they know that everybody is on that same journey. Everybody understands about their own trauma, and that understanding gives them an opportunity and capacity and capability to appreciate another person's trauma. And it reframes everything from being some kind of a, like, mental health issue in a stigma, yes, kind of flavor. It reframes it as human. We all, if you're human, you have trauma, like, period, end of story, ancestral and personal, we all have that. And it's only people who haven't had that opportunity to understand that, they're going to be in denial, and they're not going to be able to receive another person's share. So it does take, the shift takes a community, and then it starts spreading, right? Because it is contagious. So vulnerability is contagious.
That's right. And that's the new contagion that we need. That's the new thing that we need to spread. And I posted a quote on Instagram the other day that was, you know, what's in you, you spread, you know? And so it's so important that we're really monitoring that. Valerie, I want to thank you so incredibly much for joining this call. And we're going to be sending recap as well as a copy of the video to those who subscribed and registered for this community. We're going to be doing this every week through the end of May, at least on Wednesdays. If you are on the calendar invite, if it's in your calendar, you'll get it as a reoccurring invite, and invite your friends. Thank you so much for joining all of us. And it was just such a pleasure and honor to share space with you. So thank you, Valerie. You are amazing. I feel better after just talking to you.
And thank you, sister. Right back at you,
everybody. We will rise together.